Good morning, and welcome to Truth Unchanged and Unchanging, the radio ministry of First Church of Merrimack, New Hampshire. We'll have more information on our church at the end of today's program. Today, Pastor Matthew Judd is continuing his series of messages on the Ten Commandments. Today's sermon is titled, The Fifth Commandment, For Bigger Children Too, and is based on Colossians 3, 12 through 21, and Proverbs chapter 23, verses 15 through 28. Please listen with me now to Pastor Judd.
Well, turn with me to the book of Colossians for our New Testament reading, Colossians chapter 3. It was 2 weeks ago that we began to look at the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother. And we specifically saw in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, how this applies to children in their minority who are still young in the home. Tonight, we want to continue to look at the fifth commandment as it applies to bigger children, those who are moving into their majority and beyond. And we want to see how God's word applies to us in the fifth commandment in this regard. Pray together with me as we turn to the word of God. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, which is rich. It is like a mine filled with precious gems. We ask and we pray that you might give us true treasure, even as we dig into your word tonight. And we pray this through Jesus Christ, the word made flesh, our only hope. Amen. Colossians chapter 3, we begin our reading in verse 12. We'll read to verse 21. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another. Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter towards them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. As for our reading in the book of Colossians, turn with me then to our Old Testament reading, to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23, we'll read verses 15 through 28. And we specifically want to focus on verses 24 and 25 tonight, but we will also make comment on the verses surrounding verses 24 and 25. But we'll pick up our reading in verse 15. This is God's word. My son, if your heart is wise, my heart will rejoice. Indeed, I myself, yes, my inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak right things. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. For surely there is a hereafter, and your hope will not be cut off. Hear, my son, and be wise, and guide your heart in the way. Do not mix with winebibbers or with gluttonous eaters of meat, for the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe a man with rags. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth, and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. My son, give me your heart, and let your eyes observe my ways, for a harlot is a deep pit, and a seductress is a narrow well. She also lies in wait as for a victim and increases the unfaithful among men. And let all God's people say,
Amen. Amen.
Dear people of God, as we return back to the fifth commandment, we want to see how the fifth commandment applies to bigger children as well. Not just to little children in their minority, but to bigger children. And as we look at this passage tonight and related verses, parallel verses in God's word, and think about God's command to honor your father and your mother, we want to think about what this looks like as we grow ourselves into adulthood and how this, in fact, should be impacting the way in which we treat our parents. And so tonight, the Lord calls you to seek after the joy of your parents. That's what we see here specifically in verses 24 and 25. If the Lord would call you to seek after the joy of your parents as you grow into maturity and as you live your life out as one who has come to adulthood, the Lord calls you to seek after the joy of your parents. How does he do so? Well, first of all, he does so by calling you to be both righteous and wise. To be both righteous and wise. This will indeed give true joy to your father and to your mother. We read in verse 24, the father of the righteous one will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. Here, God says that the pathway to seek after the joy of your parents is to be one who is both righteous and wise. What does God mean by righteous? I think there are two aspects here in this passage which are referred to. First of all, God would call upon you to be righteous positionally. Righteous positionally. What do I mean by that? To be righteous before God. That is, to be one who is fully justified in a right relationship with your Creator, even through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we heard in John chapter 5 this morning, truly, truly, I say unto you, he who hears my voice and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and has passed from death into life. He is no longer under condemnation. And so when God here commends righteousness to children, that the father of the righteous one will greatly rejoice, God first of all wants you as adult children, bigger children, to make sure that you are positionally right with God. There's nothing which brings joy to your father and mother more than to know that you will be with them in heaven. That you will indeed be with them forever because you are fully and freely justified in Jesus Christ through absolute trust in him alone. But also the word righteous speaks about practical righteousness, not just positional righteousness, that you are righteous in Christ as you are united to him by a living faith. He also here in verse 24 refers to practical righteousness. Think with me of 3 John. In 3 John, the apostle says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. And here again, I think in 3 John, there's a reference to walking in Christ positionally, but also walking in the truth as it pertains to practical righteousness, as it pertains to that which is walking in God's pathway. And so if you want to seek after the joy of your parents, and you should, let me say that again, you should, then this is imperative, that you be righteous, right with God, and growing in practical righteousness according to the commands of God as you walk in the Spirit, looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, but also to be wise, that is emphasized in verse 24 as well. Not only the father of the righteous one will greatly rejoice, but it says, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. What does it mean to be wise? It's not just to be intelligent. but it's to have a certain measure of skill with the knowledge which you have. And here it's speaking about that wisdom which comes from fearing the Lord, a wisdom which is employing the best means to accomplish the most excellent goal, the most excellent goal being ultimately to, in whatsoever you do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to the glory of God the Father, as we read in Colossians chapter 3, that wisdom spies out the practical ways in which I can, in fact, live in such a way as to accomplish that great goal, that whether I eat or I drink or whatsoever I do all to the glory of God. Maybe we can think about wisdom as in some very just practical, almost silly ways. You want to hang a picture on the wall. Well, that's your goal. And so wisdom dictates, or wisdom informs, the manner in which you're going to reach that goal. Now, you might think in your mind, well, I've got some intelligence. I know things that are sticky, and I know things that are sticky, which I could put on the back of this frame of this picture so that I could put it on the wall. In fact, I've got some bubble gum upstairs in my room, and if I chew it up, you know, for about 45 seconds, it'll get sticky, and I can put it on the back of that picture frame, and I just hang that picture on the wall. So you've got intelligence, right? You know that certain things are sticky, and you've got enough intelligence to know you've got to chew the gum in order to make it sticky, and you know you've got to put it on the back of the frame of the picture, and you've got to push it against the wall so that it squishes and sticks right to the wall. But you might get woken up in the middle of the night as that picture comes crashing to the ground because you've not used the best means to accomplish the goal. Wisdom figures out the best means in order to accomplish the goal. And so you would use different means than bubblegum to hang the picture on the wall. But God wants you to be righteous and wise. This will make all the pains of your parents worth it. Think of all the labor of father and mother, all the worry, all the tears, all the time, all the love, all the meals, all the provision, all the clothes, all the lunches, all the rides, all the loss of sleep. Oh, to be righteous and wise, righteous in Christ and walking in Christ's righteous pathways and having wisdom to know the right means to accomplish the best ends brings joy. Joy to your parents. The Father of the righteous one, what does it say? Not will rejoice, will greatly rejoice, will shriek for joy. And he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. And so the Lord tonight calls you to seek after the joy of your parents, first of all, by being both righteous and wise. Secondly, we ask the question, what does this mean practically? What does this mean practically, particularly in terms of walking in righteousness and walking in wisdom? Well, there are certain positive things which are included in the surrounding context of this passage, and there are certain negative things which are included in the surrounding verses of this context, which help to flesh out what this means practically in terms of being one who is found in Christ, walking in his righteous pathways, and growing in wisdom and stature. The positive things, first of all, we might say there are four L's which are in this passage. The first L is listen. If you are indeed going to be one who brings joy to your parents, you need to grow in your skill of listening. Look at verse 19. Hear, my son, or listen, my son, and be wise and guide your heart in the way. Look again at verse 22. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Oh, bringing joy to one's parents includes growing in the skill, the godly skill of listening. And note here particularly that verse 22 is referring to adult children, because it's speaking about the time when your mother is old, speaking about the time when your father has, in one sense, ceased giving you instruction on a daily basis, but now only from time to time gives that to you. But listen, listen and be wise and guide your heart in the way. There is nothing more ugly than somebody who won't listen. Well, maybe you can think of something more ugly. But it's pretty ugly when people can't listen and won't be instructed. And so as big children, right, rejoice the heart of your parents by growing in the skill of listening. Not being a know-it-all, but being a listener. Secondly, learn. Learn. Learn from correction. We didn't read the verses, but verses 13 and 14, right before the passage which we read, say this: do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. Obviously here this is talking about correction of young children in the home, but the principle is still the same. Have you learned from correction? And are you still learning from correction? Do you learn from your mistakes? Do you learn from others telling you, you know what, you're wrong? And obviously this is a subset of listening, but they both go hand in hand, that we would not only be good listeners, but we would be willing to learn from those who correct us. And there are times when one might correct you. One might correct you in such a way that it's very hard to receive what they say. But to learn from correction means to try to see if there's any truth whatsoever in the criticism which is coming your way. To latch on to that and to learn from it. A third L in terms of rejoicing practically the hearts of your parents: labor. Labor. Labor after all that is pleasing to God. Look at verse 23. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Now, don't be one who labors after the wrong things. Labor after the right things, being willing to part with anything for the truth. And don't part with it for anything. The temptation is to part with the truth for the passing pleasures of sin. The temptation is to part with the truth for the fading honors which the world offers to us. The temptation is to part with the truth for the rusting riches of this life. But God says, don't let go. Labor to hold on to and to pursue after all that which is pleasing to God. Buy the truth. Don't sell it. Wisdom and instruction and understanding. And so here are three L's. Listen. Listen to instruction. Learn from correction. Labor after all that is pleasing to God. But fourthly, a fourth L would be love. Love. Verse 22. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. What would be the opposite of not despising your mother? Would it not be to love her, to treasure her, to give yourself for her, that you would love even unto old age? You would love father and mother even unto old age. Oh, reverence and respect is in place when you are young. Tokens of love regarding their counsel, care for them in old age, thankful gratitude for what they have done for you. But here are four practical things which God says will rejoice the hearts of your parents. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Honor them. Seek after the joy of your parents by being a good listener, learner, laborer, and lover. But there are negative things here as well. Negative things which practically need to be avoided if you are to rejoice the heart of your parents. There are two E's which are found in this passage. First, in verse 17, we read, do not let your heart envy sinners. God says that if you are going to bring joy to your parents' hearts, you must be one who is wary of the envy of your own heart, that you see the prosperity of the wicked and you envy them and you want what they have and you're willing to give up the truth in order to have what they have. But here God says, do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous rather for the fear of the Lord all the day, for surely there is a hereafter. Literally, surely there is a latter end, and your hope will not be cut off. But if your heart gives way to the envy of sinners and seeks that which only comes in this life and not in the next, your ultimate hope, your latter end, will not be filled with fulfillment, but it will be filled with disappointment. Your hope will be cut off. And so if you want to be one who indeed brings joy to your parents, you need to be aware of the temptations to be envious, covetous, discontent. And these are things which crouch at the doors of each of our hearts. A covetous, discontented, envious child does not bring joy to his or her father and mother. But there's not only this negative, do not envy sinners. There's a second negative, do not engage with fools. Do not engage with fools. Now we read in verse 20, do not mix with winebibbers or with gluttonous eaters of meat, for the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe a man with rags. Be careful in the choice of your friends. Be careful in the choice of your friends. Even as adult children, that you need to be careful with the choice of your friends. I think here of Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 26. The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. I think of Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. Here the warning is, if you mix with winebibbers and with those who are gluttonous and covetous, with those who are lazy and who are not good laborers, laboring after that which is true riches, then they will bring you down. And it will be a grief to your father and to your mother to see you influenced by evil instead of influenced for good. And so here, as the Lord calls you to seek after the joy of your parents, he says, do so by being both righteous and wise, and do so practically with these four positive L's and these two negative E's. But thirdly, we ask the question, what should motivate you? What must motivate you to seek after the joy of your parents? Well, one motivation is that your father and your mother have shown you love. Now you may be tempted to say, well, their love hasn't been perfect. Their love has faltered at times. Their love has been soiled with sin. But as you think back to your parents, father and mother, have they not given of themselves for your good? Maybe not perfectly, and maybe in some ways very imperfectly. But surely a parent's labor on behalf of his and her child should be a motivation for you to want to bring them joy, to want to bring them joy. Note also how verse 17 motivates you with the fear of the Lord. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day, every day, and all the day long. Walking in the fear of the Lord, where you have a sensitive heart to the things of God, brings to your memory the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother. Let them rejoice in you as one who is righteous and is wise. Let her who bore you rejoice. What else should motivate you besides the love of your parents and the fear of the Lord? Well, consider the long-lasting intention of godly parental instruction. You know, there's a temptation that as one grows from toddlerhood and into young adulthood and into maybe one's 20s to think, boy, I'm glad I'm no longer having to listen to the instruction and the guidelines and the cramped style of what my parents have tried to impose upon me. But as we read through God's word, it is very clear that God intends godly parental instruction to have a long lasting impact. A long lasting impact. I think of Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother. Again, this is speaking to an older child. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 20. My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. This isn't speaking to a toddler. This is speaking to a grown young man. And then this passage here, listen to your father who begot you, verse 22, and do not despise your mother when she is old. God would motivate you to pursue the joy of your parents by even showing you the long-lasting intention of godly parental instruction. He would also motivate you by having you to consider the potential for good and evil as both you and your parents age. That there is a promised blessing and there is a warning which we find in Scripture. Think of Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 1. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. You see both blessing and warning, promise and warning, set before you in terms of the potential for both good and evil as you age and as your parents grow older. Think of Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 5. He who gathers in summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. Think of Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 1, where there God says this, a wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Think of Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 5, where again, both good and evil is set before us in Proverbs 15 and verse 5. A fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent. Proverbs 15 and verse 20, a wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. And think again of Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 3, where there God says this, whoever loves wisdom makes his father rejoice, but a companion of harlots wastes his wealth. What am I saying? My point is this, that God would motivate you to see that the way in which you live, act, and pursue your adult childhood will have an impact upon your dad and mom, either for great good or for great sorrow, for great joy or for great evil. And God is very plain with regard to this, and this should be a motivation to us as we consider both the warnings which are set forth in terms of bringing great sorrow or shame to our parents, and also consider the blessing that you can be by God's grace to your parents. I think not only of these verses here in Proverbs 23, but Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 11 sets forth again the blessing that you can be. My son, be wise and make my heart glad that I may answer him who reproaches me. And so there's great potential, and God motivates you with that potential tonight that not only should your parents' love motivate you, not only should the fear of the Lord be that which motivates you, but also these other truths that God intends long-lasting impact on you because of your parents' godly instruction. And God wants you to remember the potential for both joy and sorrow that you may bring to your parents. And so the Lord calls you to seek after the joy of your parents tonight. I'm struck by verse 26 of Proverbs 23. My son, give me your heart. And let your eyes observe my ways. We realize as a father or a mother that this would be what our goal would be as a parent. My son, my daughter, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. By God's grace, I've not only spoken to you the truth, but though falteringly and with many failings, I've tried to walk out the truth before you, that you might learn to escape from the snares of the devil, the snares of your own indwelling sin. You might learn to seek the Savior, even from infancy and toddlerhood, an elementary age, a young adolescent, and into adulthood. But give me your heart, because out of the heart are the issues of life. And this is the desire of every godly parent. And so as the Lord calls bigger children to seek after the joy of our parents, we need to hear this. And we recognize that as bigger children, we make bigger mistakes. We cause bigger problems. We cause bigger pain, bigger shame. But God doesn't leave us there. He doesn't. Because ultimately, as we think about bringing joy to father and mother, we recognize that true joy brought to our parents is found in us, in you, in me, as bigger children being found in Christ. And both father and son, mother and daughter, together, looking to the beloved son, who always brought joy to his father, who always did that which pleased him, who was obedient even unto death, the death of the cross. And so, true joy is enjoyed together as we look to the true Son and the loving Father who delivered him up for us all. That's our hope at the end here. It's not that we would try harder, pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, but that we would together with our children hold their hands and look to Jesus and have joy together. And so may the Lord encourage you tonight to look to Him. Whether you're a father and mother here tonight, I know you're a son or daughter. But that we would look together to Him. And we would hear God say, give me your heart. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. O Lord our God, how excellent is your name in all the earth. What is man that you are mindful of him? And the Son of Man that you take notice of him? How we praise you tonight that you are the perfect Father. And how we praise you, O Lord Jesus Christ, that you are the perfect Son. The Father loves the Son and shows all things to him that he does. And the Son loves the Father. And the Holy Spirit, with love, promotes the glory of the Father and the Son. And the Son sends the Spirit that he might glorify the Father. Oh Lord, give us a taste of the joy that you have, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We long to experience what it means to be a part of your family together, together as your people, together as families, as parents and children, brothers and sisters. We long to see your promises to be fulfilled even in the likes of us. And so, our gracious God, give us joy together as we look to your beloved Son. We pray these things in his name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today for our message entitled, The Fifth Commandment, for Bigger Children Too. Since we have a few minutes left on today's program, I'd like to share the following account from an event in the life of the Scotsman Horatius Bonar in the 19th century. Many years ago, I was walking with a friend along the pleasant banks of a Scottish river. A man in rags came up to us begging. We supplied his needs somewhat and entered into a conversation with him. He could not write nor read. He knew nothing of the Bible and seemed not to care about knowing it. "You need to be saved, don't you?" we asked. "Oh, yes, I suppose I do," he said. "But do you know the way of being saved?" we inquired. "I dare say I do," was the reply. "How then do you expect to be saved?" "I have not been a very bad man, and I am doing as many good works as I can." "But are your good works good enough to take you to heaven?" "I think so, and I am doing my best." "Don't you know any good works better than your own?" "I know about the good works of the saints, but how am I to get them?" "Don't you know of any good works better than those of the saints?" "I don't think there can be any better. Are not the works of the Lord Jesus Christ better than the works of the saints?" "Of course they are, but of what use are they to me?" "They may be of great use to us, if we believe what God has told us about them." "How is that?" "If God is willing to take these works of Christ instead of yours, wouldn't that do?" "Yes, that it would. But will he?" "Yes, he will. For this is just what he has told us. He is willing to take all that Christ has done and suffered instead of what you could do or suffer. And he is willing to give you what Christ has deserved instead of what you have deserved." "Is that really the case? Is God willing to put Christ instead of me?" "Yes, he certainly is." "But do I have no good works to do myself?" "Plenty, but not to buy God's pardon with them. You are to take what Christ did as the price to be paid for your pardon. And then, having thus got a free pardon, you will work for him who pardons you, out of love for his love to you." "But how can I get this?" "By believing the gospel, or the good news, which tells you about the Lord Jesus Christ, how he lived, how he died, how he was buried, how he rose again, all for sinful men. As the Bible says, 'Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all who believe are justified from all things.'" Acts 13:38. The beggar stood and wondered. The thought that another's works would do instead of his own, and that he might get all that this other's works deserved, seemed to strike him. We never met again, but the words seemed to impact him. He seemed to take it with him as something that he had never heard before, something that seemed almost too good to be true. The Bible declares, "God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not reckoning their trespasses to them. Now then, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled unto God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." 2 Corinthians 5, verses 19 through 21. Could it be that God really will accept the perfect works of the Lord Jesus Christ instead of my sinful works? This is the plain teaching of the Bible. I ask then, where is your confidence today? Is it in your own works, or is it in the works of another? Surely in your heart of hearts you know that your works will not do, and surely it is only the grace of God that sets before you today the works of Jesus Christ, living, suffering, dying, and rising again, not for himself, but for sinners like you and me. Instead of me, too good to be true? No, too true not to be believed. Flee from any false confidence in yourself, and trust in Christ and his works. Today, Christ's perfect works cry out for you to turn from your sinful works and trust in him alone. Won't you pray to God even now? Almighty God, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins. I have not loved you, nor lived for you. I have lived only for myself. I deserve to die, to be punished in hell forever. But I am very sorry for these sins and desire to turn away from them. I want to turn to you that I might know your amazing love. Have mercy upon me. Help me to trust that the bitter sufferings and death of your Son, Jesus Christ, are sufficient to take away all my sins. Help me to believe that Christ's perfect righteousness is freely given to all who believe in him. Grant unto me eternal life for Christ's sake, alone. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. I pray this through Jesus Christ, the only Savior of sinners. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in this morning for Truth Unchanged and Unchanging. We hope you will join us again next Saturday. The First Church of Merrimack is an Orthodox Presbyterian church located in southern New Hampshire. If you would like to learn more about us, you can find us online at fcmnh.org. Once again, that is fcmnh.org. The First Church of Merrimack meets each Lord's Day for public worship at 10:45 a.m. and 6 p.m. If you do not have a home church, we cordially invite you to visit us at First Church. Our meeting house is located at 7 Babuzik Lake Road in Merrimack, New Hampshire, directly across from Merrimack Town Hall. And now, quoting from our church's first covenant of 1771, "To God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be ascribed exalted praises. Amen."